Hello, and welcome to Between Two Term Sheets, Canada's only podcast that invites investors and founders to discuss the early-stage funding environment in the high-technology space. Our host is Owen Matthews, founder, CEO, serial investor, and general partner at Wesley Clover International.
Welcome again to Between Two Term Sheets. We're at SAS North in Ottawa, and Alex has taken some time to join me today as my guest from Information Venture Partners out of Toronto. How are you, Alex?
I'm doing well. How are you, Owen?
I'm doing really well, thanks. So tell us a little bit about your firm.
Well, we're a fairly focused venture firm. We're a VC firm in Toronto. All we do is B2B fintech and enterprise software, where financial services is a key go-to-market vertical. We were founded in 2014. Prior to that, we were known in market as RBC Venture Partners.
Perfect. So spun out of RBC.
Yeah, spun out of RBC in 2014. Started initiating a fundraise, and in October of 2016, closed that fund and have been investing ever since.
Perfect. Now you mentioned fintech is a focus for you guys. Did that have something to do with the relationship with RBC?
Oh, absolutely. And I think in a large part, it had a lot to do with our experience as investors. We've been longtime fintech investors and enterprise software investors. The founding team has been investing together as a duo since 2004. And in 2014, it just made a lot of sense for us to separate and continue to invest in those categories. So we've had a long history investing in fintech.
Perfect. Well, that's great. And particular areas that you guys concentrate on? Are you early stage, you later stage? You looking for something that's a bit that's showing a bit of traction? Give us a picture of the kind of deal you like.
Yeah. So generally early stage companies doing close to or at $1 million in annual recurring revenue.
Okay.
So we're typically the Series A investor in the financing round.
First institutional kind of.
First institutional, although I think you're seeing more and more seed stage funds.
In
our deals.
Definitely some people are going earlier.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's great. And what's the market like here? Are you predominantly focused in Canada?
Predominantly focused in Canada,
but not
in the U.S. No. We invest and have made investments in the U.S.
Okay.
Yeah, so I would say right now 50-50, 60-40 Canada, U.S., depending on how one or two deals go.
Great. And what's the market like? You're seeing lots of interesting companies, lots of competition for deals. Give me a perspective of how you're seeing the market in the fintech space.
It's really exciting. I think over the years, the cohort of new early stage fintechs has only increased, not decreased, which makes our job really, really exciting. We are seeing 450 plus fintechs in Canada, which is great for us, and obviously thousands in the U.S. So I think deal flow, quality of companies, all that sort of stuff keeps us busy. I would say, given the recent cohort of fintechs, I think a lot of what we're seeing is generally earlier, so seed, Series A, pre-seed, which I think sets us up well as we deploy capital in 2018 and onwards.
That's great. And one of my concerns about fintech was always around if you're specifically focused on selling to banks. Our long history was in telecommunications,
right?
And selling to phone companies is a long and arduous process.
Yes.
You know, purchasing, you know, procedures and you know procurement, the wall of no, so that's sort of a long-standing concern. But you know, I know fintech isn't all about banking, but enterprise sales, it can be harder to evaluate. Give me an idea how you think about fintech. Is selling to banks kind of, you know, a mark against, or do you think, you know, banks can really get up and buy quickly, or are you seeing, you know, non-traditional lenders as a great market? Like when you study fintech, you know, what does the customer mix look like, and do you have concerns about how these companies go to market? Give me a picture of what the go to market looks like for a good fintech company.
Absolutely. So to answer your first part of your question,
I kind of threw four four at you.
Yeah,
once.
I think you threw four. One of four. I'll try to throw you off. I'll try my best. I'll try my best, Owen. So I would say, to your earlier point, absolutely not afraid of the startups we look at and their ability to sell into enterprises. I think over the years, it's been certainly trended positively with, for starters, innovation groups in all the major banks and secondary scheduled one and so forth banks. I also see the within each bank, there's just an increased sense of urgency and a DNA being built around innovation.
Yeah, they're feeling pressure to do something.
Pressure, I think. If you, you know, there's a great tweet I saw a year ago saying, you know, in 2014, banks want, or fintechs want to rule the world and overtake banks. But in 2016, 2017, that's very, very much the opposite. You know, we think banks and fintechs are friends, not foes.
Yeah.
So us as investors, we've been investing in enterprise grade fintechs and certainly not afraid. And when we know it takes a while, sales cycles are often 12 to 24 months.
That's so just part, part of your due diligence.
Part of due diligence. We're patient investors. We can give them guidance, connections, and help them become category leaders in what they're building.
Perfect. Perfect. Well, that that sounds like enterprise, sales business, and the prize is often well worth the work.
Yes.
But definitely there's risks associated with that.
Yes.
So tell me, when you're looking at due diligence, when you're looking at an entrepreneur, you're doing due diligence on a company. What are the things that you like? What's the subjective stuff that wins you over? How does a deal get done? Building a relationship with an entrepreneur. Give me your perspective of the stuff that you like. What are the kind of deals and the kind of people, entrepreneurs that you get excited about and are willing to put money into?
Yeah, absolutely. So early stage investing, as you know, is long and it's tough. And so insofar as we can mitigate risk as early on as possible, we'll do so. So whether it's meeting a Series A candidate in 2019 today, in the case with one of our portfolio companies, Sensible, we met Corey Gross, the founder and CEO, years ago when he was at Ryerson University with essentially an idea.
Yeah.
And we tracked him from effectively the ideation stage to seed to ultimately leading his Series A earlier this year.
You had some good exposure to him. You spent some time. You saw the progress that he was making. Probably coached him a little bit throughout the way.
And so I think very much early stage investing very much is a two-way relationship. Mm-hmm. So insofar as we want to de-risk and get to know the founder and see how he or she goes through trials and tribulations, the ups and downs, I think it's important for the founder, the entrepreneur, to get to know the firm, the investor that he or she could be working with, and understanding how are they like in trying times. How are they like by way of helping you make introductions, connections? How can they add value beyond capital? Capital is obviously a commodity, and so we try and do that, and hopefully we add value to the companies we meet and invest in, but ultimately even companies we don't invest in, and hopefully they think of us. It's very much network-driven business, so if they can recommend information venture partners to someone else, or they have fond thoughts of us, it's a good thing for our brand as well.
Perfect. So the areas that you're most excited about, what's happening in the market, and many firms seek out companies or opportunities that sort of meet a certain market thesis that they're most excited about. Give me an idea of what you think is happening in the market and the best opportunities in the market.
Yeah. I mean, I can scope this around kind of financial services and fintech. We are really, really excited around advancements in cybersecurity and advancements in privacy management. New regulations coming out like GDPR in the EU.
Yeah.
Very publicly.
This is not a subtle kind of government interaction. This is I think it's 4% of global revenue can be fined if you breach sort of privacy regulation.
Yes.
In
Europe. Even if you have one customer.
It's a pretty heavy
in
hand.
The EU and you're operating from Vancouver, say. So, like Castle, which was which was an issue that every kind of Canadian firm had to deal with. GDPR and other regulations, 50 plus, I think, are all very, very relevant for firms operating on a global global scale. So I think those regulatory measures driven by very publicly facing hacks, breaches by the likes of Equifax, Uber, and others, all I think necessitate a need for greater detection and privacy management of a firm's PII.
That's an area you just feel is a lot of opportunity.
A lot of opportunity, and we made a seed stage investment, our first seed stage investment in this fund, in a company based in New York, helping kind of tackle those issues. So, like I said earlier, we're Series A focused, but we had a really strong thesis around this opportunity and had a great opportunity to back a really interesting entrepreneur.
One of the things that maybe isn't spoken about overtly, but I certainly consider it when I think about a space, you know, you might go a little bit earlier and you might take arguably a little bit more risk in an area, but if your thesis is right and the area is a growing area, it's much easier to pivot into a profitable opportunity, or you know, there's enough demand, enough activity in the area that it's easy to you know, to take the skills and the talent and do something else with it.
Yeah.
You know, it just, when you're investing into an area that is growing rapidly, there's a lot more opportunity to change, combine, merge, do all kinds of things to come out of it okay.
Yeah, I think so. And ultimately, we're backing the team first. Market has to be big. You know, all that stuff they tell you in VC 101, market big, revenues, growing expansion versus churn, things like that. But ultimately, at the early stage, we're backing the team. And so far as they need to pivot and adapt to changing market conditions, we want to be sure or reasonably confident that we have a team that is agile, that is self-aware, and that can rally the entire organization around a common mission or a changing mission or vision.
Yeah. So areas that you're keen about, you're definitely interested in compliance and security.
Absolutely.
Because of changing regulations. You know, what about, non-traditional banking lenders or you know, I've seen interest in areas like non-traditional risk scoring because there's so many social metrics and other types of things. You know, are you seeing interest in that area?
Yeah, absolutely. And we're always learning. The great thing about this business is you can be in the business for 20 years, but you're seeing companies doing new things every day. And I think by definition, you're learning. So a big part of our job is keeping tabs on new and emerging trends. So things like blockchain, alternative lenders, passwordless authentication, alternative authentication, like you mentioned, are all areas that we're tracking closely. I mean, insofar as it can benefit a bank, an insurance company, an asset manager, and so on and so forth, we get really, really excited. And in technologies that benefit them today, and even technologies that benefit them in the near future, such as potentially blockchain, for instance.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about blockchain. Blockchain's, it's been, I think, Bitcoin this week, you know, went past $10,000 or something like
that. Yes.
So, I mean, obviously a lot of enthusiasm around that. There's obviously some keen interest in the disruptive potential of the underlying technology. And then you might have the other end of the market, which are these, you know, crazy, you know, bubble-like ICO type offerings that are not really shares, but are a right to something and a currency, you know. So you have this sort of this crazy hot frothy initial coin offering type market, and then you have Bitcoin, which is already strong, and then you have this interesting opportunity with this sort of disruptive underlying technology. A lot of moving parts in that market.
Absolutely, and it's keeping us on our toes for sure as venture investors.
There's opportunity to made, you know, while the music's going on one side, the other side, you know, there's opportunity made down the road with some really disruptive technology.
Absolutely. And I think what's really, really exciting is anytime something like this becomes vogue and investment is being made into a category like this, you'll have winners, you'll have a lot of losers. When it comes to kind of the V1, if you think of the Gartner hype cycle, I think we are probably at the peak or near the peak of the hype cycle. So, but what I'm really excited for is the enduring battle-tested technologies that come out of the funding, mindshare, that blockchain, distributed ledger technology, crypto, and all these other adjacent byproducts come out of. So I'm really, really excited to just keeping abreast of what's ahead.
Well, there's a pretty interesting if we focus in on the underlying technology, you know, we tend to be, you know, as a firm, less hype focused and more, you know, focused on fundamentals. So I tend to focus in on the disruptive potential of the technology.
Right.
You know, I mean that's very different than the way the banks do business today. You know, blockchain has the opportunity to dramatically change the way in which financial transactions operate. Now, that would mean changing the way that things currently operate, between banks and within banks. That's that's right at the core of a traditional ledger. I think that I haven't spent a lot of time focused on that particular space, but there has to be an opportunity, and somebody I think is going to win, and whoever wins in that space, will do very, very well. The potential for a few billion-dollar companies.
I think so, and what we've observed is banks are absolutely thinking about distributed ledger technology. They're sandboxing it within their innovation groups. We're seeing limited kind of deployments within other business units and probably within one or two other banks, so small networks. There's things like Ripple that are exceptions to the rule. Largely speaking, it's something I think they're absolutely thinking about. If this type of technology came around 10 years ago and there wasn't all this other hype around fintech, I'm not so sure how fast banks would move, but it's really, really promising that the largest banks in the U.S., Canada, and abroad are thinking about this.
Yeah. Excellent. Well, it'll play out over the next 10 years and many exciting things will happen. That's great. Now, other things, great deals you've seen, great pitches that you've seen, or things that stand out in the past 12 months. What do you see in a great pitch, or what do you see in a great company?
What I see in a great pitch and a great company are a founder or founding team that is clearly smart, excited, and focused at the opportunity ahead. There are many, many instances in early stage startups where you can get distracted. You can forget how to say no. You can get into arguments, and you can lose sight of the mission and vision. And so the best pitches I've seen are those that are focused on a very specific market opportunity that they believe they can conquer. The team has conviction around each of their members and its ability to add to that. And the market's obviously a big and exciting market that we know well and that we think we can add value as early stage investors. So
perfect.
Yeah,
great. Now you've been here at SaaS North for a day or so.
Yeah.
You enjoying the conference? Was it a good use of your time?
Absolutely. It's been a great use of a time. Just seeing startups from the earliest stages. I met with a startup that I think launched 6 weeks ago. Seeing the largest later stage startups here and even some public companies, SaaS firms here.
People forget that Ottawa is a huge technology center in Canada, and maybe doesn't market itself as such, but there is a huge amount of technology that happens here.
I think so, and the city's done a great job rallying behind SaaS lately, obviously, with this conference and LSpark and some of the other great things folks in town are doing. So time well spent, absolutely.
Perfect. Well, we appreciate coming out to join in our event here, I'm glad it was a good use of your time. Anything else you want to add?
Thanks for having me. Really, really excited to be here. And if you ever want to learn more about Information Venture Partners, check us out online.
Yeah, perfect. Well, thanks so much. Great to meet you. Appreciate you taking the time.
Yeah, great to meet you. Thank you.
So that's it for today's show. You've been listening to Between Two Term Sheets. This episode is brought to you by Alacrity Global, which brings investors, academic institutions, entrepreneurs, and governments together to create technology startup funds around the globe. Go to alacrityglobal.com to find out more about Alacrity's initiative.